Want to say today to our congregation, to all those who call Central United Church their spiritual home, how I long to see you and to join again in worship here collectively together. I think I understand the Apostle Paul's, some of his comments as he wrote to some of the churches, longing to see them again. It will be great that day that we can meet and we'll meet together. This is the third Sunday of the season of Easter. We read that famous story of the road to Emmaus. We want to think a little bit today on that story. Now, as on that same day, too, we're going to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. Join me in your hearts in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come like a wind and cleanse, come like a fire and burn. Convict, convert, and consecrate our lives to our great good and to your great glory. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. The Easter stories, as theologian N.T. Wright noted, are full of people getting the wrong end of the stick. Mary thinks Jesus' body has been stolen. Peter sees the linen wrappings and can't work out what it's all about. The disciples don't understand the scriptures. The angel questions Mary. She still doesn't know what's going on. Then she thinks Jesus is a gardener. Then it seems he reaches out to cling to him, and he tells her she mustn't. You could hardly get more misunderstandings in a couple of paragraphs if you try. At one level, this continued puzzlement of the apostles is a mark of the story's authenticity. If someone had been making it all up a generation later, as many have suggested, they would hardly have had such a muddle going on. More particular, nobody would have made up the remarkable detail about the cloth around Jesus' head, folded up in a place by itself, or even the more extraordinary fact that Jesus is not immediately recognized by Mary outside the tomb, in the evening on the road to Emmaus, or when cooking breakfast by the shore. The first Christians weren't prepared for what actually happened. Nobody could have been. As one leading agnostic scholar put it, it looks like as though they were struggling to describe something for which they didn't have adequate language. Well, precisely. You know, when you read the stories of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to his disciples, like this one we read today on the road to Emmaus, you do not find any detail about the event of Jesus rising from the dead. No details about what happened inside the tomb Easter morning are included. What you read are details about the aftermath. Stone rolled away, grave cloth folded, tomb empty. You don't read accounts of philosophic speculation or ungrounded speculation about what might have occurred. As they recount the stories, they aren't speculating about life and death issues, so to say. This isn't a discussion about what happens when you die. Have you ever pondered what would have happened if Jesus had not been raised from the dead? I mean, it's not the case that those who had been taken with him would have continued to meet with each other and remember him. In the wake of his death, they realized that those who had been taken with him had been taken in by him. The small band of disciples would not have struggled on as one more messianic sect within Judaism. It wouldn't even have remained a sect. Peter had gone back fishing. The two men on the road to Emmaus were lamenting their childish gullibility. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. When you read, what you read in these stories is people doing their best to describe what they're experiencing. Namely, the same Jesus who they saw crucified, dead, buried, was now standing there in front of them very much alive. You get the sense that these people are not trying to read into their experience something that will make sense of what is happening. Rather, you get the sense that what is happening is reading them and reading itself into their situation. The sense that what is happening is breaking in upon their world and our world in an unprecedented way and reshaping and pushing aside assumptions and rearranging intellectual furniture, so to speak. In short, the risen Jesus, the living, breathing, risen Jesus, is forging the reality of his living presence into their lives. Faith, biblically speaking, is relationship. Many believers tend to speak of the motivation for their belief in terms of a response to or encounter with a personal transcendent reality, resulting in a commitment to a life of prayer, worship, and obedience. Jesus, now risen, forges the reality of his living presence over our lives. And having arrived at faith, many believers then turn to consider how their faith makes sense of what they observe and experience. Not because it will lead them to faith, but because they wish to confirm and explore the sense-making capacity of their existing faith. Maybe you too have been on this road to Emmaus, the road of walking away from faith. Listen again to the despair in their voices. But we had hoped that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. Jesus had disappointed them. They had hoped that he would lead the rebellion to send the Romans packing. It hadn't worked out as they had expected. How could we be so gullible, they wondered. We may be familiar with this road. We expected that Jesus would have healed some infirmity, saved our marriage, lifted the depression that spirals downward. But that didn't happen. What's the point in believing, we may wonder. It is at this moment, the moment of walking away, that Jesus comes and walks along with them. They don't recognize him at first. Luke tells us their eyes were kept from recognizing him. We aren't told what made recognition difficult. Maybe not hard to imagine. It may be that because of typical expectations, no one expects to see their dead friend on the road while they're walking away from the grave. I wonder if later they felt embarrassed that they walked with Jesus on this road, telling him how disappointed they were with him, all the while thinking that they were talking with a stranger. Our Lord is quite willing to come alongside and engage us in conversation about all our disappointments, including those we have with him. Now let me ask believers, did you recognize Jesus when he first walked along with you? Did you always know that it was Jesus forging the reality of his living presence over your life? Yes, we can look back in hindsight, as these two disciples did, and see that when we were walking along with him and didn't recognize him, that it was really him. They acknowledged that their hearts were burning within them as he talked with them and as he opened the scriptures to them, and even before they recognized him. And many of us can point to similar things that we now know, looking back, had to be the voice of our Savior pressing in upon our hearts, warming our hearts with his love for us. Does it ever surprise you the things these disciples knew and yet still walked away. Keep in mind that this is still Sunday, the first day of the week, the day the tomb was found empty. Now listen again to what they said to Jesus about what they had been discussing as they walked along the road. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb, found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. The tomb was empty. The body could not be located. Some women had a vision of angels who said he was alive, and the boys had been to the tomb to confirm that it was empty. And they still walk away. I think this is an indication of how despondent they were, and that the farthest thing from their mind was any thought that they would ever see him alive again. I mean, not in this life. I remind you that all these indicators, empty tomb, no body, angel visitation, don't prove that Jesus rose from the dead. Him they did not see, said these two dejected disciples. Maybe a note of incredulity in their voice, a little like saying, well, it goes without saying, he was nowhere to be found. And are we any different? All these things are recorded in Scripture for us. But does the fact of their being recorded or of their recording cause you and me to believe? The witness that the tomb was empty is not in doubt. And while it may be the occasion for someone to pause a moment, we still walk away. We have reflected on this point on other occasions, the point that no first century follower of Jesus came to believe that Jesus rose from the dead because the tomb was empty. It was only upon meeting the risen Jesus that they understood why the tomb was empty. The apostles' witness that it was the reality of meeting the risen Jesus, now alive, that explained everything that they experienced. We don't interpret the resurrection of Jesus by the measures of our world. The resurrection of Jesus interprets us and our existence. The kingdom of God forges its way into our kingdoms and limited apprehensions of reality. Or perhaps also to say, the resurrection of Jesus interprets us and all our descriptions and convictions of our experience of life. But Jesus does not want to leave them in this state of not knowing who it is that's been walking and talking with them. God always wants us to know that it is God who comes alongside to speak to us. When they got close to Emmaus, the two disciples insist that this unrecognized traveler accept their hospitality to stay with them since the daylight would soon be gone. Jesus accepts. Jesus always accepts that invitation. Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. And so he, Jesus, went in to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. The question is often probed on how they finally recognized that it was Jesus. They said that he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. when they saw him take the bread in his hand. Maybe they knew they were witnessing something familiar, something they'd seen before. Was it the way he held the bread, said the blessing, broke it into pieces, or the way that he served them? No one does these things like Jesus. I wonder, and this is my own speculation, that in addition to that familiar way he handled the bread, was this the moment when he served them, as he turned his hands toward them, that they first caught glimpse of the scars that were left by the crucifixion nails? This is how Thomas recognized him. We don't know. We are told that their eyes were opened. Recognition occurred. They now know that it is Jesus. God does not leave them in the dark about his presence in their lives or in our lives. Maybe Jesus has been in your house, so to speak, for some time, and in hearing the apostles' witness preached, you now recognize who it is. Each believer's story has unique experiences. Some come hearing to faith, hearing a preacher hold out Jesus in evangelism crusade. Others found their way in the routines of worship, hearing the story over and over. Some found their way convinced by what they experience in life, things like beauty and love, that there must be more to existence than what the five senses can detect. All believers share one thing in common. We come to recognize that it is Jesus. In whatever their journey entailed, looking back, they have come to know that it is the living Savior forging the reality of his presence into our lives. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. You know, as you read the stories of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances, the fact that he vanishes from their sight is never an occasion of disappointment or dismay for the disciples. We don't see these two sitting around the Emmaus dinner table wondering, where did he go? They don't bemoan, oh, he's gone and left us again. Rather, they jump to their feet because they've got great news to tell. There's some joy in them. Somehow, the fact that Jesus vanished is never experienced as Jesus abandoning them. They continue to know him to be present even though he vanished. This witness is for us too, and for all who come to believe on account of the witness of these apostles. As Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. The story reveals two indicators of Jesus' presence. The disciples said their hearts were burning as he talked with them along the way. Now, what was Jesus talking about along the way? Was it not that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory, said Jesus? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. That's the first place. The second place of revealing was in the breaking of the bread. And this is why word, the scripture read and preached, and sacrament are the staples of the church's worship. Why we assert that Jesus is making himself known as we do these things in faith. Consistently, he shows himself here. I notice, too, that their disappointment with Jesus somehow gets resolved in the reality of the Lord's kingdom. The reason that they were on this road to Emmaus, Jesus had not ousted the Romans as they expected. Somehow this is resolved in the victory over sin and death that has been won in Jesus. Something more glorious shines its light on the travails of this world. Justice will be done in the judgment our Lord renders in the kingdom of his light. I think so also for all those reasons we may find ourselves on the road to Emmaus. In the Apostle John's visions, we have a glimpse of that future our Lord has secured for us, where death and crying and pain are no more. Because Jesus is resurrection and life, he heals us of that disease which closes out our earthly existence. And in healing us of this, he heals us of all other diseases that anticipate it. And in that kingdom where love will only give way to more love, broken relationships are restored, eclipsed in the wonder of the unlimited love of that future our Lord has created for us. So all those things, all those disappointments we have, somehow are resolved for us as we walk with our Lord. While they were talking and discussing, while we are talking and discussing about what is happening to us, Jesus himself came near and went with them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.